Pero yo esa pregunta, ¿qué esquema le hace daño al Derby Country? ¿Qué sé yo qué esquema? Acá dice, pero yo no la tengo en la cabeza.
If you ask me what is the most difficult system for Derby County to play against, I wouldn't be able to answer to this question because I don't have it in my mind.
Alguna vez puedo preguntarme.
I can ask, if I have a doubt, I can ask myself the question and have a look at this document.
Y si me lo pregunto, sé que tengo cómo encontrar la respuesta.
And if this question appears to me, if I need to find the answer, I know I have the answer.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Inside Elland Road podcast brought to you by the Yorkshire Evening Post. We say special edition, but we're coming to you on an almost daily basis at the moment, which is pretty much the way life is at Leeds United, or certainly has been in the last 6 or 7 days. I'm coming to you tonight from my front room, which is virtually derelict after having a new fireplace fitted, and it's pretty much where Joe Wilkett would choose to be at 8:30 on a Thursday night. Isn't that right, Joe?
Absolutely. I feel like I've been let into some privileged information where I know where you live now, so that I have some serious leverage on you.
That's true. That is true.
If I tweeted out your address, I reckon 1,000 Leeds fans would descend with like flares on like some random Polish training session or something.
Well, they might be. They might do, but they'd be disappointed when they got inside to find bare plaster walls and everything else. But the one thing I did bring was some beers, which I think we need after, what, a week of mayhem. Nice. It's Spygate for us tonight, as it has been for just about everybody else for the past week. And we spoke at length about this on a weekly podcast on Monday afternoon. This is specifically aimed at analysing and looking back at the press briefing which Marcelo Bielsa held on Wednesday evening at Thorpe Arch. The two of us were present. I think it went straight in at number one in the list of all-time great press conferences at Leeds United. And it has to be said, I don't think there's a club in the world that do press conferences like Leeds United do. And I suspect, actually, that must have been your first taste of the high drama that comes at these when they particularly hit the high notes.
Yeah, well, what is it, nearly a year now, I think? How long have you been? 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
So if you're saying it's a highlight, I think I'm going to be very disappointed from here.
Well, let's say it is right up there with Chiellino's return from his Football League ban when it went on for so long that he split it up by going for a cigarette break, a five-minute fag break halfway through. It's up there with Brian McDermott returning from his sacking that wasn't in 2014 again on Chiellino's watch. It's considerably better, but still comparable to David Hockaday's introduction with Junior Lewis and his single answer of a single sentence.
This list could go on.
But I think the one thing I would say is that it wasn't manic or ridiculous in the way that several of those others were, particularly the Chiellino Football League ban.
I think everyone was more starstruck, weren't they, about what was going on in front of them.
Very much so, very much so. And actually, it has to be said, we'll get into the wider issues of Spygate, but fairly privileged us to be able to sit and watch what you never ever get to see a head coach or a manager show you. It's, I think, almost unheard of for journalists to have that amount of access to football club analysis, particularly in this sport. Other sports can be more open about it, but it is massively, massively guarded. And hopefully over the next sort of hour or so, we'll be able to outline with bits of audio from it and a bit of analysis from us exactly what went on. And I think more to the point, what the point of it was from Bielsa's perspective. To set the scene a little bit, it became apparent around about 12:30 or 1:00 on Wednesday afternoon that Bielsa was thinking of doing a press conference, was talking about doing a press conference. It was not suggested to him by the club that he did. I think at the outset the club would have preferred that he didn't. And for most of the afternoon, the club had very little idea of what it was that he was planning to do. It was 3:00 when we were finally told that, yes, we were summoned to Thorpe Arch for 5 p.m. And I've got to say, you know that there's high drama in store when you're at Thorpe Arch in the dark. It's always a telltale sign that something's coming.
That might be my first time there in the dark, actually. I think any time it's been like a late presser, it was like clocks were the other way around, so I think that is the first time. I mean, that was a great way to spend a day off, has to be said.
Yeah.
I mean, you rang me at what, 2 or something like that?
Having told you in the morning, it'll be all right today.
Yeah, because, so I sent you a message saying, I'm around today, but I'd like to have a day off. So if anything kicks off, just give me a ring.
Yeah, I naively said Casilla's getting done tomorrow, and this EFL thing, the EFL FA investigations won't move any further today. But then lo and behold,
and then you popped up on my phone. I thought, here we go.
It's got to be something bad, isn't it?
Wasn't quite expecting what we were going to get treated to, though.
No, when the news broke about the press conference, there was understandably a lot of panic about what was coming, because everybody knows that this is a head coach who walked out of Lazio after 2 days, resigned at Marseille after the first game of the season, literally walked into a press conference, said his piece and got on a plane home to Argentina. Likewise, all went sour at Bilbao and Lille towards the end. And there was certainly no indication from the club that he was planning to resign, although they were slightly in the dark. It wouldn't have surprised me had he threatened to do that, had he said something on the lines of, if I'm not welcome here, or if people don't think I'm good enough for this country, then perhaps it's better that I don't stay. But as I say, it wasn't a case of the club saying to us, look, we think this is what is going to happen. But I think even in our heads, we were kind of wondering how he was going to play it and what his line was going to be. Certainly none of us expected what actually developed. But I don't think anybody who was turning up to that briefing was totally convinced that he wasn't going to do something daft.
Well, I think when you rang me, my initial thought was he's going to like wave a resignation letter and say, look, if you don't want me here, I'll go. I thought that was my initial, oh God, here we go.
That was essentially what happened at Marseille
him. So when we obviously got there, I think, what time did we get there? About 4:30, and obviously he was penned in for 5, and then we were told he was setting up. I was like, boy, setting up what?
Interestingly,
it transpired that he was setting up a presentation.
Yeah, I mean, as it happened, there were players coming out of the training ground at the time when we were arriving, and it did become pretty clear from them, and also from the tweet from Pontus Janssen, ribbing someone who had said that Bielsa was set to resign, that wasn't coming and that wasn't happening, and you knew that the players would have known. I think Bielsa would have, without any question, had the courtesy to have told them before arriving and waving some paper in our face. So that calmed things down significantly. But we were told, when we were about 5 minutes to go, that what you're going to get is a PowerPoint presentation. And even at that point, we all assumed that it would be a PowerPoint presentation followed by questions, a press conference of sorts, where we'd be able to clear up several of the issues that are left over from what happened last week and what was said last week. Things like, for example, and he did answer this without being prompted, but how many games has he spied on, for want of a better word or a better phrase, this season? The answer of which was absolutely all of them. And he was very honest about that. But other things as well, not related to him, you know, the accusation that the scout who was sent down, young intern, had pliers, had binoculars, had a change of clothes. Nobody seems quite clear whether or not that's actually true or whether it's accurate. And Derbyshire police seem very reluctant to confirm that and have said that they gave Derby no details at all about what happened down there. So there are aspects of this that are not entirely clear. But ultimately, when we got up there, we sat down, and it became very clear from the video screens in front of us that we were about to get a full-on PowerPoint presentation, just not in the form that you'd expect if it was Nigel Adkins stuck at the front of the...
It was like a one-man monologue, wasn't it, at the start? 25 minutes, wasn't it, his original statement? And obviously, like you said there, he covered all bases, sort of saying, look, these are my reasons for doing it. It's not a justification, it's more just this is why. And then obviously it transpired that it turns out it's his anxiety. And to be honest, just sitting there witnessing one of the great football minds decipher exactly how he goes about analysing one opponent, let alone everyone. And one of the quotes that stuck out for me, I think, was, I can't speak English, but I can talk about all the 24 championship teams. And that pretty much will, I think, stick with me from when Bielsa's gone to just wherever he appears next in his illustrious career. That quote is just absolutely sums up his footballing mind, I think.
There were some cracking sound bites, and I think that was it, wasn't it? I'm a head coach, and therefore I can talk about football, and the rest of it is rather immaterial. His opening statement, we were timing it went on for, goodness me, it was
about 25 and a half minutes,
yeah, as we sat, listened, tweeted, you live blogged during
stunned.
It.
Stunned.
Well, stunned from the point of view of wondering where exactly it was going. A lot of what was said in that statement was repetition of what he'd said on Friday night after the game against Derby. Again, his view that he knew he'd upset Lampard. He didn't think he'd done anything wrong. He certainly knew he hadn't done anything illegal, but he didn't think, crucially, that he'd done anything immoral or illegitimate in terms of the rules of the game. But he's clearly very aware that there are people in England who aren't happy, people who, particularly Lampard and Frank Lampard and Derby. And from what I understand, I think the motivation for the press conference was in part to avoid the press conference we've been at today, the pre-Stoke presser, being overshadowed and completely dominated by this. But also I gather that he has been pretty unhappy with the, you know, the statement that's come from the EFL, the comments from other managers, and he has taken a kicking from, yeah, you know, from various quarters. I made the mistake of going on TalkSport this morning, and I will touch on this later on, but interesting conversation about Dean Saunders and analysis of games in non-league. And if we get through enough beers, we might start ranting like Dean Saunders towards the end of this. But I think in that statement, the bit that everybody latched onto, and what I think was probably most revealing, was him admitting that actually they've done this sort of covert scouting at absolutely every training ground this season. They've done scouting of opposition training sessions before every single game, which I think we all suspected was true. We suspected they might have tried. We did question on the weekly podcast earlier in the week whether he could actually have seen into every training ground, given that most are pretty well guarded. But evidently they have been able to. That really was the sort of gold, silver bullet as far as anybody looking for a story was concerned. And we're going to let you listen now to a chunk of that opening statement. It's translated by Bielsa's right-hand man, translator, Frenchman Salim Lamrani, who's been with him from the start. It'll give you a clear overview, I think, of how this started, what was in his mind, why he was there to speak to us, and again, you know, as I say, going back to much of what was said on Friday, his view of whether this controversy should have been blown up in the way that it was.
Que la Liga va a iniciar.
Is that I'm going to make it easier for the investigation of the league?
Contemple o necesite.
I'm going to give the information it needs.
Y para, como primera medida, asumo que mi comportamiento sea observado desde la posición más extrema.
And I assume the fact that my behavior is observed from the most extreme position.
Sintéticamente, digo que observé a todos los rivales que enfrentamos.
So in a few words, I can tell you that I observed all the rivals we played against.
Y en todos los entrenamientos que realizaron esos rivales previamente a que los enfrentáramos.
And we watched all the training sessions of the opponents before we played against them.
Como no es que quiero facilitar la investigación.
My goal is to make it easier for to make the investigation easier.
Y no imagino algo que agrave más lo que están investigando.
And I don't think that something is going to make worse what they are looking for.
Que esto que acabo de decir, ¿no es cierto?
Than what I'm selling right now. What I'm saying right now.
Por lo que quedo sujeto al castigo que decidan las autoridades.
And I'm by doing that, I assume the possible sanction that the authorities.
Yo no deseo comparar mi situación.
I don't want to compare my behavior, my situation,
con ninguna otra actitud que se corresponda con la misma línea de análisis.
I don't want to compare my behavior with previous behaviors regarding this subject. We could have the same reading line.
Yo he escuchado que hay otras conductas que también afectan el fair play.
I've heard that there are other behaviors that also affect the fair play.
Pero de ningún modo yo quiero defenderme atacando a nadie.
But I don't want to defend myself by attacking others.
No quiero hacer ninguna referencia
que no tenga que ver con mi responsabilidad.
I don't want to point any other situation that is not linked to my responsibility.
Respecto de del hecho que yo protagonicé,
regarding what I've done,
el hecho que yo protagonicé no es ilegal.
What I've done is not illegal.
No está especificado ni descrito ni restringido específicamente.
It's not specified, it's not described and it's not restrained.
Es cuestionable.
We can discuss about it.
Está mal visto.
It's not seen as a good thing.
No es un delito.
But it's not a violation of the law.
Sé claramente que no todo lo legal es correcto.
I know that not everything that is legal is right to do.
Hay muchas cosas que son legales y que no son correctas.
Because you have many things that are legal but that are not right if you do them.
Esto último es tan cierto.
And this is that true.
Como que no todo lo incorrecto está hecho con mala fe.
As the fact that all the wrong thing you do are not done with a bad intention.
Todo aquel que actúa de manera incorrecta.
Those who behave bad, who don't behave well.
Alrededor de estos temas que estamos recorriendo.
Regarding the subject we're talking about.
Estamos hablando de obtener ventajas a través de la trampa.
We're talking about getting information advantages with what is called cheating behavior.
Por eso reafirmo que no todo lo legal es correcto.
That's why I repeat again, it's not because it's legal that it's the right thing to do.
Ni todo lo incorrecto está hecho con mala fe o con el objetivo de hacer trampa.
And it's not because you have a wrong behavior that you have bad intentions or you have the intention to cheat.
Por supuesto que cuando uno observa algo sin la autorización del observado.
Of course, if you observe something without the authorization of the person or the people being observed.
Eso recibe el nombre de espiar. Y la extensión de espionaje.
We call it spying, and we say it's spying.
Yo no puedo decir que eso esté bien.
I can't say that this is a right thing to do.
Lo que voy a tratar de explicar.
What I'm going to try to explain.
Es que yo no hice eso con mala fe.
That I didn't have bad intentions.
Ni buscando obtener una ventaja deportiva injusta.
And I didn't try to get an unfair sports advantage.
Sino que lo hice considerando que no era ni ilegal ni estaba contraviniendo una norma explícita.
But I did it because it was not illegal and it was not violating a specific norm.
Hay normas que se desprenden de los usos y costumbres.
Because you have norms that are linked to the habits.
Hay normas que se desprenden de la condena social.
You have norms that are linked to the social condemnation.
Y hay normas que las establece la ley.
And you have norms that are linked to what the law says.
Como obviamente que yo tengo un punto de vista que de ninguna manera debe primar.
Of course I have a point of view, but it doesn't mean that my point of view is more important than other points of view.
Porque como bien dijo Lampard,
because as Lampard said,
él no cree en mi buena fe.
He doesn't believe that I didn't have bad intentions.
No cree que traspasé un límite que el fair play delimita.
He believes that I violated the fair play spirit.
Entonces, tengo que adaptarme a los criterios que se desprenden de las costumbres del fútbol inglés.
So I have to adapt to the rules that are linked to the habits of the English football.
So, in Bielsa's view, he's about to make it easy for the EFL and Football Association. That'd be good news for them, right?
Imagine if he takes that PowerPoint and does it for the EFL again. I think it might be more than 66 minutes.
I think they'll probably just either clap him out of the room or say to him, no more, no more. There was a period in the analysis which we're going to discuss now, where he was asking us to pick out individual games and for him to show us the detail he went into. And we started with a 3-2 defeat to Chelsea. The derby had suffered, showed us all the various aspects of the analysis. We went on to a 2-2 draw with Manchester United, again looked at all the detail, and he then said to us, you know, do you want another one, pick another one? And I think it was Adam Pope from Radio Leeds in front of us did say, what, another? You know, like how long is this session going for? But I mean, you can maybe paint the picture a little bit. We started off, didn't we, with basically a top to bottom list of Derby County's fixtures on the video screen, a straightforward fixture list of the games, to which they were all numbered, and Bielsa essentially started saying to us, you pick a game and I'll run you through everything and anything that we do regarding the analysis and the research of Derby in these matches.
Yeah, it was the video clips, I think, that struck me the most. They basically cut down all the attacking play, don't they? From, I think he said, 41 minutes to 8 for the players. Was that both
eight,
and not?
8 minutes for attack of Derby attacking play, attacking. 8 minutes of defensive play, so 15 minutes for each player.
And then he wheeled out the clips on Harry Wilson's set pieces as well, where he's like getting up two clips of different corners from different games and saying, well, we can back this evidence up. We know where he's going to put the ball because of this action. And then, obviously,
he was raising both arms. He said, when Harry Wilson raises both arms, this is what we know he's going to do at a corner.
And then proceeded to show. And the other thing as well, he numbered every single player and sort of like edited it, I imagine Bielsa didn't sit and work on Photoshop, but about the attacking movements and the movements from corners, but also from all set pieces, and then from sort of the way that they all ghost into different positions and how they can potentially defend that Leeds. And you start to think, you were sat there thinking, right, if I'm a player, how the heck am I going to take this in? But when you start getting into the fact that, I mean, obviously Cooper today, when he said each individual player gets one of these feedback forms themselves, like it's not just for the squad, for an individual player, you can start to understand the detail that he goes into. And obviously we got a glimpse of it yesterday, and he was just sat there baffled by all these video clips that he'd gone through, and someone's sat through, what, 360 hours, they said, that it takes to compile all this stuff. And when he started opening spreadsheets as well and then matching up the spreadsheets to the video clips, you're just like, bloody hell.
Well, I asked Cooper today, is this, it, you know, at face value this looks brilliant and you think fantastic analysis, but for a player is it actually quite difficult to take in? And yeah, he said, well, to begin with, we did have to get our heads around this because it's not what we're used to, and it is a lot of information and it can be very complex. And you know, over time, in his words, it becomes second nature, and you just get used to every game taking this in, you know, taking it on board and properly understanding what it is that you're looking at. But just to go through some of the numbers, I think they said it was almost 300 hours of analysis per club in the Championship. Yeah. So Derby alone had been analysed for 300 hours, which involved all 51 games last season. And the only reason they'd analysed all 51 games last season was purely to look at the players who were in the team or the squad last season and who were still playing under Lampard this season. He said every individual game took 4 hours to analyse, and every game was analysed for 4 hours. There were no exceptions, there were no matches that they overlooked. And on that basis, he was able to tell us things like every formation Derby had used, every player who'd been used in every position in each of those formations, the exact minutes that every player had spent in every position on the pitch. So he showed us, for example, Harry Wilson played most on the left wing, I think, a lot of minutes on the right as well. Had also played at number 10, but then you found that from time to time you could see that Lampard had used him in other areas as a sort of makeshift player. I think Mason Mount had rolled up at right back for not a great period of time, but had still had to to fill in that, you know, fill in there. So you started to see the bases being covered little by little by little. And I mean, away from Spygate, it's fascinating to see. And we should say here that this is not unique to Bielsa in terms of analysis. Everybody analyzes games, analyzes opposition. I think what we found out on Wednesday was that the scale of it from Bielsa's perspective is, or under his regime, is absolutely massive.
I think Lampard that said it was 15 hours he did for the Leeds game. Well, I think you can kind of, like, everyone does do analysis. I don't think anyone's surprised that football managers do analysis. But I think it's the in-depth 300-hour aspect, isn't it, that's the standout. Another thing about sort of just touching on that subject is, since Nathan Jones has been appointed at Stoke, he's looked at 26 Luton Town games.
And just to put that in context, it's Thursday night, so Nathan Jones has been in the Stoke job for 8 days. 8 days, and they've already analysed to the same degree 26 games that he had at Luton Town this season.
That's a lot of takeouts.
It is, and I mean, you start to wonder, they joke about Bielsa sleeping at the training ground and his staff, and actually his staff were in the back of the room, weren't they? When we came in, I think this is what was the eye-opener when you first walked in. His entire backroom team were positioned at a table at the back of the room, and they chipped in from time to time. Marcus Abad, the goalkeeping coach, spoke at length and spoke very well actually about set piece routines. He knew a lot about that. Everybody was in there. Lamrani was in there as well. It was a massive collection. He did think, my God, like, do these people ever sleep? And actually, do they get paid enough for the amount of hours they must be throwing into this?
Well, the other thing as well was when Marcus Abad was chatting, they were talking about clipping goalkeepers taking the ball from back passes, weren't they? And you can obviously imagine that's another thing that maybe gets overlooked, but like showing that to KMRF, saying, look, Scott Carson is comfortable taking the ball here, but not here, pressuring when he takes the ball there. And those little things all build up, don't they? It's just literally nothing is left to chance. And we've said that phrase a lot in podcasts previous, but now I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Literally nothing under Bielsa is left a chance, to the point where he'll send some bloke to poke over a fence.
I mean, we were told this, weren't we? Players at Marseille and Lille used to talk. Benjamin Mendy, I think, has been quoted as saying, you know, you got videoed to death by Bielsa, but it was great and it really helped. And again, put that question to Cooper, is this actually really useful? Because Bielsa himself kept saying to us yesterday, actually, a lot of this is useless. A lot of this information is completely useless or is a waste of time, but we do it regardless. And Cooper did say it does help, because you feel as if you're going onto the pitch not expecting any surprises. You feel as if you have been told as much as you could possibly be told about the opposition, to the degree where it becomes very difficult to surprise anybody.
You almost get to the point as well that you've obviously looked at all this analysis, but it gives you almost a confidence boost, even if you don't sort of fully understand it, if that makes sense. It makes you feel prepared for each game. I imagine, as a player, that you're approaching that game, you're thinking, I am as prepared as possible. I've done everything I can do to be prepared for this game. My coach has given me everything that I can possibly do. So from that respect of giving you confidence going into a game, like you say, no surprises. You've got it all laid out in front of you. Whether you've taken it all on board is a different question, but just having that belief in thinking, I am completely prepared for this game of football, is just another level, isn't it?
Which is the Stoke game at the weekend, 48 hours time. The whole point of analysing Nathan Jones at Luton is because they want to know how he plays, what he does, and they feel that the only way to work him out is to properly go through every single one of those matches, and God knows when they've done it in the past week, because evidently there've been a lot of games round about as well. I mean, Bielsa does have a fairly big staff. He has interns who work for him. He has specific analysts. He has a big backroom team of Quiroga, Reyes, Flores, Marcus Abad, the goalkeeping coach. He's got Lamrani as well, and you get the feeling that it's very much a team effort. The analysis, it has to be at that stretch, but it's the sort of insight which you get to a degree from, you know, as journalists or supporters, from Y Scout reports or from a website, you know, statistical websites, of which there are more and more these days, you know, Optostats and so on. But you never ever get to see at close quarters that type of information. I mean, it was so revealing that somebody who was very eagle-eyed noticed on the screen that in the computer there was a file dedicated to Daniel James down at Swansea, who obviously we've spoken about before, as as has become clear in this transfer window, is a winger who Leeds very much want to sign. And sure enough, there it was. Analysis of him being done, sat on the same computer as literally thousands and thousands of numbers and statistics and details related to Derby County. And that's when you start to realise, isn't it? That's when you start to work out how much work's going on.
Can you imagine if that computer crashed? The panic that would ensue.
They've got to be hard copies, haven't they?
USB stick.
Whenever anything crashes in 24, I'm sure my age a bit with 24, but you know, it's never lost forever, is it? You can literally recapture things from a nuclear war if you've got the right technology, and you sort of wonder whether Bielsa does have weapons grade tech up there to
maybe
garden.
That's what the whole rearranging of Thorpe Arch was, to create a big room for all the servers,
a big dark room downstairs. Yeah, well, at least they've now got sleeping quarters there, because you get the sense that they definitely need it. We'll play a bit more audio for you now. This is, and hopefully this is fairly in context, it'll be a little bit difficult to follow, but essentially after 25 minutes Bielsa stepped up, walked to the other side of the room and stood in front of one of the big video screens and began running us through all the different details and the different aspects of the analysis that they'd done. And this is specifically of Derby County games. If he kept us there all night or all week, we could have gone through the whole division. But this was purely about Derby. And hopefully this audio you're about to listen to will give you some idea of what it was he was showing us and what he was trying to tell us.
Nosotros hemos visto de todos los rivales
of each opponent
toda la temporada 17-18.
We watched all the games of the season 2017-2018.
Estos 51 partidos de Derby County.
So we watched the 51 games of Derby County.
Lo hemos visto.
We watched them.
El análisis de cada partido, the analysis que lo hacemos,
the analysis of each game
lleva 4 horas.
Takes 4 hours of work.
¿Por qué lo hemos hecho?
Why did we do that?
Porque nos parece un acto de profesionalismo.
Because we think this is a professional behavior.
Tratar de evitar la ignorancia que tenemos sobre la competencia que nos recibe.
Is to try to avoid to be ignorant about the competition we are playing in.
Yo, díganme ustedes. Yo soy sospechoso después de lo que acabo de protagonizar.
I'm suspicious. I know I'm suspicious after what I've done.
Dígame cualquier partido de todos estos. Dígame cualquiera un número.
Tell me any game. Point any game.
Dígame un número.
Number. 19.
19.
Muestre el partido 19. Este es el análisis del partido 19.
This is the analysis of the game 19.
La formación inicial de los dos equipos.
How the starting 11 of both teams.
Todos los datos del partido.
All the data of the game.
El partido, considerando la disposición de un equipo y del rival.
The game taking into account the tactical scheme of the opponent and of the team and the opponent.
Los cambios que se producen.
The substitutions.
Y si hay cambio de esquema rival.
And if the scheme of the opponent, the structure of the opponent changed.
Sobre esta, quieren, desean ver otro partido.
Would you like to see another game?
Dígame un número.
Tell me a number, Adam.
12.
El 12.
Yo lo único que estoy tratando con esto es de que ustedes crean que es verdad que lo que yo digo lo hicimos.
What I'm trying to do with this is try to convince you that what I said is true.
Acá está el mismo análisis. Páselo.
This is the same analysis.
Con todas las variantes que tiene el partido.
With all the differences we can find in a game.
Cuando enfrentamos a Derby County,
so when we played against Derby County,
lo que hacemos es señalar en los partidos
en todos los 51 partidos los jugadores que siguen perteneciendo a Derby County.
Is to watch the players that are still playing for the, in the 51 game we watched that still they are still playing in Derby County.
El otro análisis que hacemos es registrar los goles, las situaciones de gol, las aproximaciones y el dominio.
The other thing we do is we point out the chances to score, the goals, the half chances to score, and each segment of 5 minutes, which team dominates.
Por eso el trabajo lleva 4 horas.
And that's why it takes 4 hours to analyze each game.
Este trabajo es muy difícil hablar de uno mismo.
It's very difficult when you talk about yourself.
No sirve para nada.
This is not very useful.
Y no permite ganar un, estar en mejores condiciones de ganar un partido.
It doesn't put you in better conditions to win a game.
Pero la forma de honrar al fútbol que te recibe,
but the way to respect the football that receives you,
es conocer a los jugadores y a los equipos.
Is to know, to make the effort to know the players and the team.
Yo puedo no hablar el inglés.
I can't speak English.
Pero sé de los 24 equipos de la liga inglesa, sí puedo hablar.
I might not be able to speak English, but I can speak about the 24 teams of the championship.
Entonces, de lo único, para lo único que sirve esto,
so the only goal of this,
es para ver de qué jugaban el año pasado los jugadores que siguen jugando en Derby.
Is to see what were the positions of the players that are still in Derby last year and now.
Esto está acompañado de un estudio fílmico.
And we also do a video analysis
donde se van mostrando los goles, las situaciones que crea un equipo y otro.
Where we register the goals, the chances to score, the half chances to score.
Por eso dura 4 horas el trabajo.
And that's why I repeat again, to analyze one game takes 4 hours.
Entonces, este es un procedimiento.
So this is a manner, a process.
Para conocer sobre el rival.
This is a way to get to know the opponent.
Esta planilla,
this document,
solo nos permite saber,
allows us to know,
cuáles son, por ejemplo, nosotros sabíamos que necesitamos saber que Forsyth hace tantos partidos que no juega, que Malone hace tantos partidos que no juega.
So we need to know if one player has missed some games, if another player has played or missed games.
Que Lepley que jugó contra nosotros después no jugó más.
We saw, for example, that player who played against us and then he didn't play anymore.
Y esto mismo se puede expresar de este modo mucho más sintético, ¿no?
And we can express all these parameters with this graphic.
Todo esto, a mí me avergüenza estar contando todo esto.
I feel ashamed to have to tell you all this.
Ahora vamos al análisis de los partidos que jugó Derby en esta temporada.
So now let's go to
muestre las canchitas primero.
Let's go to the let's talk about the analysis.
Miren. Derby jugó
that Derby played this season.
31 partidos.
Derby played 31 games.
El 49% de los partidos utilizó el sistema 4-3-3.
49% of the games they played, they used the 4-3-3 system.
El 22, el 4-3-3, acá con el jugador, el volante mixto a la derecha, acá a la izquierda.
In 22% of 4-3-3, but with the number 8 on the left, on the right for the 49%, and on the left with the for the 22%.
Lo mismo del 4-2-1-3, con el mixto a la derecha y a la izquierda, el 11 y el 10.
Same for the 4-2-1-3 with the number 8 on the right and on the left. 11% and 10%.
Y después hubo esquemas que utilizó el 3%, el 3%, que son irrelevantes.
And they also used structures, 3%, 2%, but they're not
Por as lo cual, the, nosotros sabemos, sabíamos perfectamente.
Permiso, Marcelo.
As the percentage is low, it's not very significant. So, before the game, we knew perfectly
que estos iban a ser los esquemas que iban a utilizar.
That they would use these kind of systems.
Estos esquemas,
these structures,
van fijando prioridades.
Gives you priorities, fixed priorities.
Y acá están expresados los minutos y los partidos.
And here we have also the minutes and the games.
Para entender cuándo cambia de sistema y por qué cambia de sistema.
To understand why Derby changes the system and when does Derby change the system.
Si lo cambia para revertir un resultado o para conservar un resultado.
If they change the system to keep an advantage, a result they have, or to try to change, to score a goal and
si los
to revert.
Son para darle carácter ofensivo al equipo.
We also analyze if the changes made are to give the goal is to give an offensive profile to the team,
o para darle solidez defensiva al equipo,
or to give defensive strength to the team.
Y también sabemos qué cambios resultaron o no resultaron.
And we also know if these changes of structure were efficient or not.
Por supuesto que en la medida que uno va trabajando en una liga, todo esto queda incorporado.
And of course, when you spend many time in one championship, in one competition, you already assimilate that.
Sáquelo eso. También registramos.
We also gather this kind of information.
Los esquemas que enfrenta.
The structures Derby County plays against.
¿Por qué los registramos?
Why do we to have a look at this situation, at these facts?
Para tratar de observar.
The idea is to try to observe.
¿Qué esquema le resulta difícil enfrentar?
What is the most difficult structure for Derby to face, to play
ahora,
against.
Yo quiero explicarles.
So I would like to explain you
que toda esta información.
I would like to explain to you that all this information.
Yo no la manejo ni la registro.
I don't assimilate it. I don't memorize it.
Toda la información que contiene este informe.
All the information that this report has
responde a una pregunta, a todas las preguntas que en 30 años yo alguna vez me hice sobre un rival.
Responds to the questions as been that I have asked to myself in the last 30 years regarding an opponent.
I think the last few comments there give you an idea of what this is all about for Bielsa. It's excessive amounts of research by his own admission to keep his mind at rest about the possibility of missing anything or missing anything that he should have spotted. He said very, very early on in his statement, it's almost about professionalism because you feel that you have to do it in order to feel professional. But I mean, I imagine you agree with this. What was really interesting all the way through was the number of times he said to us, this information is in the main or to a large degree essentially useless. And he said again a few times that he was, in his words, I'm stupid for doing this and obsessing about this because actually the information we're gathering isn't really that worthwhile, Ned. It isn't actually that valuable for a coach. We just all do it. And he does it more than anybody else, by the looks of things.
Yeah, well, you could always fall back to the old age principle of, look, football comes down to putting the ball in the back of the net, doesn't it? And this is overcomplicating it. But it's something that he's done throughout his career. It's something he's had success with. And if he, as he went on to say later on about his anxiety, if that is the case, then you can understand why he goes to such lengths to try and find out as much as he can about the opposition, because he then feels as prepared as possible. And I understand his justifications and why he thinks he's done this and he's not broken the law and stuff. And obviously the outrage that this has caused has been absolutely way over the top. So I don't know whether going forward he'll do it again? Probably not, I imagine now.
But I don't see that he can do after the apology they were speaking, the club made.
It was pretty clear that he wasn't, was it? Wasn't it? So, yeah, just remarkable.
Somebody made a very interesting comparison to me, which was with Donrivi, which I know is a comparison that you should make very, very warily. But Reavy was, and Bielsa seems to be like this, incredibly paranoid about making sure that he had everything covered, about making sure that he'd done enough, as much preparation as he possibly could. And everyone knows that it was Revy who introduced the idea of the dossier. And as it happened, there were actually paper dossiers there, massive stacks of them under Bielsa's video screen, which covered pre-season friendlies and games from last season, which I suspect the games from last season, those files were probably done prior to him coming to Leeds, or certainly some of them would have been done. You can imagine his poor staff getting a phone call last May saying, right, you get on to every game that Derby played last season, and then thinking, Christ, here we go.
You know what? Obviously, you talk about the way he came to the club, but this anxiety, but also this depth of looking. He got blueprints for Thorpe Arch, didn't he?
He did, yeah, before he came.
And that just literally falls into everything that we saw yesterday.
He had blueprints by the time
they'd landed,
flew over, Angus Kinnear and others flew over to meet him, because he was already thinking about the changes that he wants to make. And I actually think that the comparison with Reavy is a very valid one, because Reavy seemed to have the same mindset about, you know, attention to detail. I mean, Reavy was miles ahead of his time, and obviously Bielsa clearly is to a degree as well, but you know, Reavy was into it a long time before anybody else was. He had people who did these dossiers for him, and I did think that was a good comparison. You were getting the same, without ever having met or dealt with Reavy, you were getting the same kind of sense of underlying paranoia and, you know, anxiousness from Bielsa that I imagine you probably got with Reavy, on the basis of just wanting everything to be right and everything to be perfect.
Perfectionist almost, isn't it? Sort of wanting to be as good as he can be. He kind of strikes you as a person that if he's doing something, he does it 100%. There's no half-assed effort there. And this data collection is just evidence of that sort of trait of personality, isn't it?
He was manager of, or head coach of Athletic Bilbao, Bielsa, in 2012, when they reached the Copa del Rey final and played Barcelona. We got a great story yesterday, and again, this, it tapped into, I suppose, the modesty that he tries to show about analysis, because he did say more than once, I don't like speaking about myself like this, I get too much exposure in the media anyway, and I'm not doing this because I want you all to think I'm an incredible coach. But he spoke about, he told us a story about Pep Guardiola, about what happened after the Copa del Rey final, which very much related to his opinion that a lot of analysis is pointless, a lot of analysis ultimately means nothing when you lose a game, as Bilbao did. They conceded three times in the first 25 minutes. That game was over before it started, and as Bielsa said, he was very, very disappointed to lose it. But afterwards, he offered his analysis to Guardiola to have a look and see what he thought of it. And if you have a listen now, he'll recount the story and tell you what happened and tell you what Guardiola made of the analysis that Bielsa showed him.
Dirigiendo el Athletic de Bilbao.
When I was the head coach of Athletic Bilbao.
Jugamos la final con el Barcelona.
We played the final against Barcelona.
Nos ganaron 3-0.
Barcelona won 3-0.
Fue un acto de generosidad de parte de ellos.
And they were generous with us.
Después del tercer gol, decidieron que era suficiente.
Because after scoring the third goal, they stopped playing.
A mí me dio una profunda tristeza esa derrota, como es natural.
And as you can imagine, I was very sad to lose this game.
Cuando terminó el partido,
when the game finished,
yo le mandé a Guardiola.
I sent to Guardiola
este análisis.
This analysis.
Como un regalo que testimoniaba admiración.
As a gift that was expressing my admiration for him.
Y Guardiola lo miró.
And Guardiola had a look at it.
Y me dijo, vos sabés de el Barcelona un montón de cosas que yo no sé.
And he told me that you know more about Barcelona than me.
Pero no sirvieron para nada porque nos metieron tres.
But it was useless information because they scored three goals against us.
So, good story, that one, I thought. Good story, and always good to get Guardiola name-checked in there. Guardiola was at it himself, actually, earlier in the week or last weekend, saying he hopes Leeds get promoted. And I don't imagine he'll be... don't imagine he'll be throwing any grenades Bielsa's way, I wouldn't have thought.
I think my favourite Twitter reaction to that was... Guardiola's been a Leeds fan for 5 minutes, but he's still got tickets for Norwich at home.
Well, at least somebody has, yeah. Yeah, packed out and what sold after an hour and a half, which does kind of say it all. The point of this is not to... The analysis is fascinating. What we saw was very interesting. But there's obviously a serious issue behind this, which has caused a lot of debate and has divided opinion in a way that I haven't seen many subjects divide opinion. That there are a huge number of people on one side, and I think we're on this side of the fence, who think that as much as Bielsa probably did cross a line, in an English sense anyway, by spying on opposition training sessions, the reaction to it's been pretty disproportionate, and actually it doesn't seem worthy of much, if any, punishment at all. On the other side, you've got people like Stuart Pearce who think it should be a reversal of the Derby game, and let's accept that every opinion is valid. There are
to entertain that thought.
Well, as they say, it is an opinion. I said was on Talksport with Dean Saunders this morning.
What is it they say, fascinating. Though, opinions are like arseholes.
Everybody's got one. Everybody's got at least one. Yeah. A fascinating 2 minutes that was before they cut me off for the adverts. He was telling me, or was trying to tell me, that when he was in non-league, he did exactly the same analysis and amount of analysis as Bielsa did, using two students and a laptop, which I'm sure is 100% true.
Which is just bollocks.
100% true. But again, on the divide of the fence, which has a problem with this, and you have to accept that there will be people who will see this in a different way, and people who will think that this is underhand and shouldn't have happened, and perhaps should lead to some sort of punishment. But I guess the bigger issue, or the bigger question for you, is what was the point of this from Bielsa? He was most certainly not taking us there to Thorpe Arch to say, look how incredible I am, look how diligent I am, don't you think I'm the best coach that you've ever written about or ever dealt with? What was he trying to do?
How long you got? Do you want a PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah, go on. Not in here.
He wasn't trying...
It would brighten this place up, wouldn't it?
As Lampard has clearly took it after his press conference at Southampton last night after the FA Cup, he's obviously heard about it and taken it as if he's taking a swipe at him, where that's not the case at all. It wasn't like he was going in there going, look what I've done about Derby County. This is why I've beaten Derby County, because I've done all this work. It was more to explain why he doesn't need to send someone to go and poke over a fence. It doesn't give him any clear advantage. The idea is that all this work that's gone in, it is that final little thing that eases his mind to say, this is everything I've done is right. There's no surprises. There's nothing now that can surprise me tomorrow when I face this football team on the pitch, where they set up in a formation and he goes, holy crap, we didn't know this was happening. It's that little thing in the back of his mind, that niggling little thing that says, am I as prepared as can be? After all this work, even though 300 hours has gone into it, is there anything else I can possibly prepare for? And I think it's just that attention to detail, that obsession, I think obsession is the right word, to football that he has.
A lot of people, I think, are under the misapprehension that Bielsa is trying to pretend that he's doing the other things that other people aren't. And, you know, this is what I was having with Dean Saunders this morning. I was saying the point of this was not to pretend that he was some trailblazer, although clearly he has been through his career, but with this analysis specifically, the point of it, I think, and he said at the start, I'm going to make this easy, try and make this easier for the EFL and the Football Association. I felt the point of it was to say to the EFL, if we've done 300 hours of analysis of Derby, if we do 4 hours a game, if we can tell you which player has played in every position for how many minutes, if we can show you Derby's different formations and tell you, and we got graphics, didn't we, of the formations with different names and different colours, which basically represented the players who played most in those positions, the players who played second most, the players who played least, and they were able to rotate this through 6 or 7, 8 different formations. If I've got all this in front of me, Does it make any material difference that I had somebody spying through the fence at Derby last Thursday? Did that have any material effect on the game on Friday night? And I think the bottom line to that answer is no, it didn't. You have to accept, I think, that on Thursday they might well have been able to establish that Harry Wilson wasn't fit and wasn't training. And you could say on that basis that perhaps it was easier to start somebody like Jack Clark knowing that Harry Wilson wasn't going to be on the pitch. But as I would have said on TalkSport had I not been cut off by the adverts, and Selco is where the trade go, so I would not want to interfere with that.
That is a fact.
It is. I would have made the point that that bench on Friday was wall-to-wall under 23 players. The team was picking itself for Bielsa. He's got players missing all over the place. The lineup was as it was. And perhaps a Wilson in the team, Derby would have played better. But I don't think he would have carried 10 other players who struggled right from the off. And even Lampard said himself after the game, we were outplayed from minute 1 to minute 90, so I have to draw the distinction between the pace that we've taken and how unhappy we are with what went on Thursday. But essentially it was Bielsa saying, you cannot come to me and say you have won this game on Friday because of your scouting on Thursday morning, when we can show you endless amounts of data that we have on them that we've clearly been building up over weeks and months.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more I can add to that. You've pretty much nailed it on the head there, haven't you? I mean, like you said,
I do, because I'm trying to have a drink.
Trying to down your beer. I just think that a lot of people that have seen what he's doing have basically taken it as if he's throwing his ego around there. Stan Collymore being for one. Dean Saunders another, maybe, is taking it the wrong way in that they basically think that he's doing it for an ego trip. Sort of, this is how good I am. This is why I've sent someone down to look at training, because it's my ego that's done it.
Well, Lampard's quote when he walked into the press conference after the FA Cup game at Southampton on Wednesday night, "We do analysis too,"
with a smirk on his face,
is absolutely not what it was about yesterday.
No, absolutely not. No, not at all. And I think that's where the problem lies, is people have interpreted this whole thing wrong, and they've understood the whole point of why he called people there to watch this PowerPoint, why he's done it. They've just taken it completely the wrong way, and then that has then resulted in more ridiculous outrage that we've seen on TalkSport, like you say, and other places, from people, Martin Keown, that kind of people, you know, just people that haven't sort of grasped the whole point of what he did and why he did it, and not the justification for what he ended up doing, but he was explaining that, look, someone poking his head over a fence, you know, that's sort of immaterial in the long run. I've done 300 hours of work, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we want to apologise too far for Bielsa, and I thought the club were right to apologise. I think Bielsa would be well advised not to carry on with this. As I said a little earlier, I don't think there's any way that he can, certainly not with the club's blessing. But this little clip of audio, and this is a short stint from towards the end of the press conference, I think pretty much sums up the long and short of what he was getting at yesterday. And had he tried to condense his press briefing into literally a minute, then I think this is what he would have said.
Yo no necesito ir a ver el entrenamiento de un rival.
I don't need to go to watch the training session of an opponent
para interpretarlo,
to know how the opponent plays.
¿Por qué voy?
Why do I go?
Porque no está prohibido.
Because it's not forbidden.
Porque no sabía que iba a generar semejante rechazo.
Because I didn't know it would create such
aunque este trabajo no sirve para nada.
I didn't know I would have such a reaction, and because even though this going and watching an opponent is not useful,
me tranquiliza hacerlo.
It allows me to keep my anxiety low.
So, as it stands, we have an investigation by the Football Association. We have an investigation ongoing by the EFL, who, it has to be said in their statement, were almost implying from the off that Leeds have breached or potentially breached certain rules, most of which seem to relate to good faith or treating clubs with respect, which are always very open-ended. There is a bit of a precedent for this, which involved Crystal Palace and Cardiff back in 2014, when Palace were accused of obtaining Cardiff's team sheet through foul means, and were fined around about £25,000 by the Premier League. The cases aren't entirely, don't correlate perfectly, but I think that's about as close as you'll get to the Spygate as we are talking about. What do you think should happen? What do you think would be the right way to deal with this?
It's a good question, and I want to be careful what I say here.
Say what you like.
I think a fine, and if they're really, really looking to make an example for a rule that doesn't exist, potentially a touchline ban. But I actually think, and this is like full Bielsa, that a touchline ban would actually help him, because he gets a different viewpoint.
It might do. Although,
because you see clips of him when he was in Marseille and Bilbao of watching his players train at the stadium and him walking up to the top of the stand and looking at their shape, and you just think, you know what, hand him a touchline ban, because that'll actually benefit Leeds United.
He does have a fascinating vantage point, doesn't he? Do you remember when Andre Villas-Boas, and it's funny we mentioned him because he's become wrapped up in this as well, but do you remember when he used to watch games by crouching down? He used to say, I get a better view crouching down, and nobody was quite sure what he meant, and nobody really believed him by the time he was leaving Chelsea with arrows in his hat. But Bielsa kind of watches it from a sitting position at pitch side, and you do sort of think you can't, well, you imagine you can't get a great overview of it. But with that, you know, we digress slightly. I don't think this is worth any punishment. I don't think this is worth any major sanction other than perhaps a rap on the knuckles to say, look, do you understand the sort of consternation this has caused, and will you commit to not doing it again? Which I think Bielsa probably will. But as I said on the previous podcast, I feel like he's had a good going over from various quarters for the past week. I think he's learned a lesson about, you know, how we do it in England. Which is an awful
which
phrase.
Is not,
You know, and there has been far too much of that. But I think has learned that sort of thing is fairly frowned on, even though people can end up being hypocritical about it. And given what went on last night, and given the way he's spoken, and I think in all honesty has said that he didn't realise it was as unacceptable here as it was, given that it's been acceptable in various other countries that he's worked in. I think there is an argument for a cultural clash, you know, being fairly relevant to this. And I think as well, you do have to step back and say, has this made any difference to the position Leeds are in the league? And nobody will convince me that it has.
Yeah, I mean, when I was saying it before, I think it was probably more of a what I think the FA will do. I think what, and I made this point the other day to a few people who picked up on what I wrote in that piece we did about our sort of viewpoint after letting the weekend die down. And my point was that I think the FA will put this under a vague rule and give him a punishment and then install a rule going forward, or the EFL, whoever it is that decides that they want to move on this. I think that's more what I think will happen. Whether that, whatever happens, the punishment fits the crime sort of thing is maybe another debate to have when it's actually announced. But I can understand where you're coming from with a little slap on the wrist, and look, if you, as long as you say you'll never do it again, then, you know, fine, we'll move on. And to be honest, this has dragged on so long now that it's getting to the point where you just sort of wish that before the Stoke game they'd come out handing the punishment, and then you can, when we get to the stadium on Saturday, it's gonna be like, oh my god, thankfully there's a football game going on.
Well, it's safe to say that he hasn't lost any popularity in Leeds.
And if anything, he's
ingratiated himself not only into the, you know, to the sport, but also into the kind of ethos of Leeds United, which is that you can go forth and multiply.
Do you not think that, I think Rory Smith tweeted this out, and I wholeheartedly agree, that his time here was going quite smoothly for what we'd been told. And I think this just cements his legend even more within the game of football, whether he's hated or not here, I think, in the long term. But I think, honestly, his legend is even more enhanced by this little...
I think it probably is. Yeah, Rory Smith from the New York Times, I think he tweeted to say this is more like it from Bielsa. and, you know, on the basis of his record, it definitely is. But, yeah, Stoke on Saturday. Liam Cooper talked today about being sick of, hearing about this, and is probably not alone in that. And the definite sense, isn't there, of the club trying to draw a line under this. I don't mean trying to pretend that it's not there and imagining that it's all gone away, but I think they're at the point now where whatever comes, they'll deal with or take the punishment as it occurs. And in the meantime, they'll crack on 4 points clear at the top of the Championship.
The irony isn't lost on me, by the way, of saying I'm sick of talking about it, having just spoken about it for an hour.
I know. Not as sick as you all are of hearing about it, yeah. So I think on that note, we'll wrap up and call a halt to what we should have called an emergency podcast at the minute. That was your phrase
I did point out that people started to sound like Frank Lampard whining about you know. I think that won me a few people back.
Yeah, get the wheels from the door. Well, I hope that's been useful. I hope it's given some insight into what went on and where we stand on the whole issue. We'll be back with, well, at this rate, umpteen podcasts. We'll have a post-match podcast after Stoke. We'll be back with our usual weekly effort next week, and then hopefully no more emergency podcasts beyond that. And for now, we'll let Bielsa sign you out and wave you off. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Esto yo lo he explicado.
I gave you this explanation
solo para que se, para poder just para que no justificar, sino que puedan entender,
to make you understand,
por qué yo considero,
why I think,
que no hago trampa haciendo algo que no está, que no es ilegal.
That I'm not, what I think that I haven't, that I'm not cheating, what I'm doing something that is not illegal.
Porque interiormente no persigo una ventaja.
Because I know that I'm not trying to get an advantage.
Porque los datos que necesito ya los tengo.
Because the information I need, I already have the information.
Y reitero, ¿por qué lo hago? Creo que por estúpido.
And I repeat again, why do I do that? I think because I'm stupid.
Bueno, eso era todo. Les agradezco mucho la presencia.
This is all. I thank you for your patience.